All right, start with the EU story and how that's now been completely debunked.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about this this Italian politician who blasted Bill Gates, Sarah Cuniel.
Cuniel, yeah.
Blasted Bill Gates in her speech. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about what should have been the right strategy in all of this going forward.
Yeah.
Actually, looking back, how we should have gone forward with all of this and how we can get out of this predicament of lockdown, surveillance, vaccine, which is, you know, the narrative that I think is driving everyone mad.
Mm, yeah.
All right. So get to what you want to discuss with the EU, because I think that's interesting how hacking is now just completely false of Merkel's. Was it her phone that was hacked, she said? Or
that's right. She says that her computer was also hacked. Her computer was hacked and her phone was hacked. And in fact, we now know that she said that it was the Russians who were hacking it. And she came along and she made this extraordinary comments about how she's constantly trying to improve relations with Russia. But in reality, the Russians are doing all these terrible things, that they're hacking her all the time. And in fact, we now know that this all relates to an incident that took place in 2015. And a British hacker has actually come forward years ago, admitted that it was his work, and he was tried and convicted for it. So it's got nothing to do with the Russians at all. And Merkel knows that. So if you remember, we covered this story and, you know, we were a bit dubious about it a short while ago when it first came out. And I said it was all about Merkel trying to, rebuild her popularity when she was under pressure because the German Constitutional Court had made decisions that she didn't like. And certain things are happening in Germany, which she's not very keen on. Well, to put it straightforwardly, she was fabricating a story of Russian hacking out of nothing, because she knows that it wasn't the Russians. It was a solitary British hacker who did this thing. So it's bizarre that this whole thing has been restarted again. And it's terrible that Merkel is giving credence to it when she must know that it isn't true.
I don't understand why she brought it up again then. I just don't understand.
Well, more to the point, why did the media in Germany run with this story like that?
Merkel must have, or her press office or her PR office must have told them to run
with it. Which is exactly what has happened. I mean, Merkel has, and by the way, the other thing just always to remember is that we actually know, because of Edward Snowden's revelations, that the NSA, the US NSA, has in fact been listening into Merkel's phone.
We know Obama.
So the Americans have done something. She's blaming the Russians for something that there's no evidence the Russians have actually done, and that a British person actually admitted to having done. So why did Merkel bring it up? Well, as I said, I think it's a sign that things in Germany are not as good as they were, as they looked for her a while ago. I mean, the trend over the last few weeks is, as the pandemic crisis has grown, political leaders initially see a big jump in their popularity, and then that popularity starts to slip as people begin to become tired and they feel that the situation is grinding down. Also, I think that she has been very rattled by the decision of the German Constitutional Court, which says that the European Bank, Central Bank's bond buying program, which she supported and endorsed, is illegal. So I think that this must have been the reason why she got this Russian hack story revived and has had it planted all over the media. And by the way, this isn't the only thing. I mean, she's now busy, the European bureaucracy, which, remember, Merkel is connected to, have been spreading stories about, you know, the Russians supposedly being behind some kind of anti-CV fake news thing, which again makes no sense. So somebody is intent, and Merkel is clearly part of this, is intent on reviving all this anti-Russian thing all over again.
So it's a distraction, but also you said that their popularity drops, the leader's popularity drops. But I think it drops also because people are now starting to wake up to the reality of the economic environment as well.
Absolutely.
That they're about to face, in which, I mean, they're probably say, okay, Merkel, in every country, they're probably looking to the leader and say, now what do we do?
Yes. Can I just say something? I mean, you know, we've seen this in Britain too. I mean, Boris Johnson's popularity rose very high. And now we're starting to see in the opinion polls that his popularity is starting to fall. And the place where apparently it's been most sharp and sudden is in France, where Macron's popularity has apparently crashed. So he got a bump up in the polls, but they're now going badly wrong for him again. So Germany, France, Britain, but we see Merkel, not Donald Trump, by the way. Donald Trump's the exception. His poll rating has been
it's stayed pretty steady, little blips up and down,
but it's pretty steady. But it's interesting how Merkel has reacted to it by spreading fake news, because that's what it is.
Yeah, Putin's popularity also dropped considerably.
Putin's popularity dropped, exactly. I mean,
I think it hit the lowest point.
59, he went down from, I think, 66%. He went up to 70%, and now it's fallen back to 59%. So you get a sense, but it's consistent with the whole, as I said, political system.
To wrap it up, I think whether we're looking at Merkel or Trump or Macron or Putin or any of the leaders in any country, I think you're going to, maybe in 3 months or six months, you'll see exactly where they stand, depending on how they handle the economic part.
Correct.
That's going to be the big test now. How do they get out of this stage of it, which is going to probably be the most difficult part.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, I think that, as I said, it's remarkable how steady Trump's polling figures are. I think the two who are looking the most vulnerable are actually Macron, Johnson. I mean, the British figures, economic figures, are just horrendous. Absolutely horrific. But I think Merkel is probably sensing that she's slipping also. I think Putin will come out stronger.
All right. We'll see the economics.
Looking at the economics there, I think you'll actually see that come the autumn, with the oil price going up and with the economy reviving there, you'll start to see things ticking up again. But Merkel, and by the way, Germany's economic figures are not looking good at all either. So,
well, Macron is going to have to inevitably, I think without a doubt, he's going to face more yellow vest protests. So I think that's going to really hit his approval rating even more. And I think for Trump, looking at Trump, the economic figures for Trump are really all about the election. That's going to dictate whether he wins a second term or not. So everything's on the line for Trump.
I think that's right. But I think also there are lots of different political narratives going on in the United States. And I also think that Donald Trump still has his finger on the pulse of the American people. Can I just say one thing about Macron? What I'm hearing from people in France, again, is that, I mean, there's lockdowns in many countries. The one in France has been policed in the most violent fashion. I mean, it's off the scale. There is no comparison between, say, lockdowns in London or even Rome or Berlin with the way it was done in Paris. And that has, again, provoked an awful lot of anger. I gathered tens of thousands of people have faced massive fines there, and there's been a wave of police, aggression against lots of people, which have been completely disproportionate to whatever it was that this lockdown was supposed to be for.
All right. Okay. Well, staying on this issue, Alexander, let's turn to Rome and Italy, where this story is really making the rounds, where you have Sara Cuniel, a member of the Parliament of Rome, said that Italy had been subjected to, and I quote, a holy inquisition of false science. And she really took aim at Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates had a bad week. The FDA halted his CV testing program. So that happened to him. And then you had this Italian parliament member who gave about a 7-minute speech blasting Bill Gates, and also bringing up what happened to Bill Gates' vaccine program in India and in Africa. I mean, she talked about the globalist agenda, You know, she talked about Bill Gates' failures. She talked about Bill Gates' speech where he brought up depopulation and eliminating 10 to 15% of the population. Let me just read you a couple paragraphs from the Gateway Pundit, what they said about Sarah Kuniel's speech. Sarah Kuniel, the member of parliament for Rome, blasted Gates during her 7-minute long speech on Thursday, claiming that he has been working on a depopulation policy and plans for dictatorial control over global politics. The lawmaker blasted the shutdown orders handling the corona pandemic and vaccines. Kuniel claimed that the, and I quote, real goal of all this is total control, absolute domination of human beings transformed into guinea pigs and slaves, violating sovereignty and free will. All this thanks to tricks, hoax, disguised as political compromises, end quote. What do you make of that statement? Which is a part of her 7-minute long speech, by the way.
It is an excoriating speech about Bill Gates. And can I just say straight away, I think she's got a lot of strong points about Bill Gates. Bill Gates, as I said, he is a monopolist. At one point in time, and I mean, we both remember this very well, he basically ran, if you bought a computer, they all worked on his software. If you wanted to access the internet, you had to use his software to do it. I mean, he was absolutely the dominant figure in computer science. And he's trying to do the same, it seems to me, through vaccines now. He wants to control establish an extraordinary degree of control over people by forcing vaccines on people, which he will be providing. And as I said, he will also have all kinds of ideas for tracing people through microchips and whatever. And of course, he's trying to use this crisis to achieve that agenda, which he's been doing for a long time, by the way. I mean, he's been, as you rightly said, he's been trying to promote vaccines in places like India, wherever. Unnecessary most of the time, unsuccessful sometimes, tragic and deadly in many cases. Now, can I just make this point? Because you know, we have no way of knowing whether there is any vaccine that is going to work with CV. We're going to wait for Bill Gates' vaccine, assuming Bill Gates provides us with the vaccine that even works. If we're going to wait for that, we could be waiting for years. We don't have any certainty that vaccine will work. If his plan is to keep us all in lockdowns until his vaccine appears, then we may be in lockdowns forever. That is absolutely not a sustainable position. And it is not, by the way, what the World Health Organization, various medical organizations around the world, most governments are proposing. The way out of this crisis, which they have been proposing, is you have a brief period, a couple of weeks of lockdown. Usually it's about 3 or 4 weeks, perhaps a bit worse in a few particular hotspots, to break the chain of transmission, to establish proper testing facilities, and those tests are voluntary tests done with swabs and all the rest. My wife, by the way, has been asked to participate in them. And then you find out where the major cases are. You're able to track down the infections, the carriers who are able to do the infections. You isolate them. You work out who they've been in contact with, and you do this in a perfectly normal way through sending out forms, asking people to fill out.
Do you need an app? Do you need an app? Do you need a chip? Do you need any of that?
You do not need an app. You do not need a chip. And you keep all these records, which, by the way, this is the law. This is fact people don't understand. You keep these records for a short space of time, and then you destroy them. And that's all you need to do. You do not need microchips. You do not need to put microchips inside people to keep track of them. You do not need to wait for vaccines. You could control a pandemic like this with those methods. They have been shown to work in places like Korea and East Asia. You don't need to do any of the things that Bill Gates and Fauci and company are trying to force on us. And we should be very, very worried about their agenda. Now, I don't think that with Bill Gates, and I'm going to say this, I think control is always part of it, because he's a very controlling personality. As I said, he's a monopolist. But I think crudely, it's about money. He wants to make lots and lots of money out of all of this by pushing vaccines on people and by having all these various microchips and apps, which he will be able to use to control people in that way. I think that's what his agenda is. Of course, what other people might be able to do with all of these tools, if he invents them and provides them and forces them on us, that's another thing. And that we should be worried about that too. But can I say again, we don't need to go down this road. And that is not orthodox, conventional science.
I think that's the issue here. And we got into an argument as to what's going on here before we actually hit the record button. Yeah. So, I mean, we're just kind of working through our train of thought, to be honest, as we're recording this. But we got into the argument as to what's going on with the CV and the politics and the vaccines and the surveillance and the tracking and the lockdowns and all these things. And I think that the worry is that the messaging has been so awful in just about every country too. I mean, I can't think of a country that had a really good, consistent messaging policy.
Yeah.
And a game plan, you know, kind of like if you're a manager of a team, a football club, a baseball team, anything. You know, you want to get your game plan across. I don't think we've had a consistent, coherent game plan saying, you know, okay, lockdown 2, maybe 4 weeks, then we'll do the contract tracing. Guys, it doesn't mean microchips. It doesn't mean any of that. We'll do the testing. We'll do the contact tracing. And that's how we'll get out of this mess. We haven't seen any of that. We've seen, you know, messages changing. We've seen mask, no mask. We've seen lockdown 1 week, no 2 months, no this, no that. You know, we haven't had consistent messaging. And then you have guys like Gates and Fauci who are coming on, you know, all the MSN channels, and they're saying, no, you know, actually, we're going to have to wait until we get a vaccine. Or actually, you know, we're going to, you know, the vaccine's also going to have a microchip attached to it as well. So it'll go right in you. So then we can monitor where you go at all times. And I think it's driving everyone mad.
Well, of course it is, because they, as you correctly say, Fauci and Gates do have a consistent message. Political leaders have completely failed in this crisis, and I don't know of a single one who has risen to it, because none of them has any background in science, to be put it bluntly or crudely. Merkel does, but I mean, she was a chemist, decades ago, back in East Germany. So, I mean, you know, so they haven't had consistent messaging. And they don't really understand. They haven't really understood much of what they're supposed to be doing. Now, it has to be said, some countries have eventually got there. Germany got there, I think, reasonably early. Though I have to say that things seem to be going a bit haywire there over the last few weeks, with Merkel perhaps losing some sense of direction. But anyway, they had a lockdown which didn't last hugely long. They set up very effective testing systems. They're now opening up. Russia, in my opinion, I mean, they're further behind Germany, but they seem to be working towards that direction.
If I could just make a criticism of Russia, they got off to a slow start.
They got off to a very slow start. It reminds me very much.
They were praised in the beginning.
I know.
Because of how low the cases were and they closed the border. But I think it added a little bit of complacency to their...
It added a lot of complacency. They closed the border to China. They lost control of the people who came from Europe. They made a lot of mistakes, and they gave people the impression that things were under control there when they weren't. So then they had to tighten up suddenly and very fast. And they did eventually get on top of it. But as I said, if they'd acted more quickly and been a little bit more humble, they might have avoided this crisis entirely. It reminds me, by the way, and I'm going to say this is the one time I'm going to say this, I don't like military analogies in this situation. It reminds me a little bit of the start of the Second World War, when, if you remember, the Germans were very well organized at the beginning, and then they sort of gradually lost momentum. The Russians were very complacent. They were taken by surprise. They were very confused. And then eventually they managed to sort themselves out. Now, if you look at the situation that we have at the moment, Russia is testing at about 3 times the rate that Germany is. So over time, the greater economies of scale have gradually started to play out. But there's no doubt at all that they messed it up at the beginning. The other country, which I think has done reasonably well, and this has been so distorted because of the way the media is running this, is the United States. Now, the United States has a population of 330 million. They have about 80,000 cases. The European Union has a population of 420 million. Those are the two blocks you should be comparing to. The United States does more testing than all the countries in the European Union put together.
Just to correct you, I think you said 80,000 cases. I think you meant deaths,
correct. Sorry. The United States tests more people than the whole of the European Union put together, including Germany. And not only do they do that, but with 80,000 deaths, how many deaths are there in the European Union? Multiples greater. At least twice as many as in the United States. That isn't the comparison that's being made. You're comparing instead the United States with individual countries that are far smaller than itself. And of course, it's true, there are parts of the European Union which have been less affected than other parts. But that's true of the United States also. I think the United States has been a success story in all of this. But because of the way that, as I said, the whole media thing is directed at Donald Trump all the time, and, you know, people come up with fake stories about him pumping people up with whatever it was. All those sorts of things, that's all being lost. And at the same time, and in the meantime, you have Gates and Fauci promoting their own agenda, which is not the one that the United States government is, in its own way, actually pursuing. So that's why I suspect you have a situation where Donald Trump is able to say, well, you know, we can start to open up in all sorts of places, and Fauci comes along and says the opposite, because he doesn't perhaps want to see things open up so quickly as Donald Trump does, because he has a different agenda from the one that the US government has, which is to bring the thing under control and then to start opening up. He wants to wait for vaccines because he is working together with Gates, who has a different agenda entirely. Gates and Fauci are not the heroes in this. And they're not the heroes. If you want the Bond villain collect pair, well, at least with Gates, perhaps you've got one.
Yeah, well, they scare the hell out of people. Not all the people. Obviously, there's a portion of the population that wants to go the route of Gates and Fauci, but there's another portion of the population that, you know, listens to what Gates has to say and Fauci. And let's not forget that they're propped up by all the media,
absolutely, with
the exception of say, Fox News in the U.S. All the other media has them on, 24/7.
Yes.
Or, they're pushing their message 24/7. And so you're hearing this stuff and you're saying, geez, we're going to have to wait 1-2 years for a vaccine to come out. And then you look at Bill Gates's track record on vaccines and you say, okay, no way in hell am I going to, put a Gates vaccine into my system. No way in hell am I going to have a microchip planted in me so that they can surveil me, or have Google or Facebook create an app which follows me everywhere I go, or an app which notifies people when someone around them has CV so that they can snitch on them. Or you have governors and mayors saying, snitch on people if they're doing social distancing or whatever. I mean, all this stuff drives people absolutely.
Well, and they're right too, because firstly, can I reiterate? Actual science doesn't require it. It's not necessary. As I said, we have seen countries which have managed to get on top of this, of the pandemic crisis, and they've done none of these things. There's no reason to stop inserting microchips into people or waiting for vaccines. As I said, a vaccine may be years away. It may be years away. And certainly waiting and talking about vaccines and microchips as the way out, it's both wrong and it's sinister. And it gets in the way of what needs to be done, which in most places is actually, it's certainly in the United States, in my opinion, it is being done. It is actually being done. Now, the messaging, again, has been terrible, because I think that, again, with Donald Trump perhaps hasn't even understood this as clearly as we set it out here. And how can he, when he's got someone like Fauci as his chief advisor?
Yeah.
I mean, it's once again, his instinct points in one direction. And by the way, he's not been irresponsible in the way he's handled this thing. Trump's instincts point in one direction, but he's got someone with a completely different agenda, who is to say Fauci, telling him something completely different and coming to Congress and undermining him.
Yeah, well, Fauci, you know, we did a live stream on the deep state, and Fauci's been, you know, in that position for five presidents. So, I mean, if there's a personification of deep state on a scientific level, it's Fauci. I mean, he's been a fixture there.
Absolutely.
Forever. So I think, you know, Trump definitely inherited Fauci, but God, did he inherit the wrong person at the wrong time?
Yeah, well, indeed. Well, Bill, we know that, you know, Gates has had big influence on the United States government for a very long time. And who knows how Fauci rose to the position that he has done. But certainly Fauci's no hero. I mean, I've been reading some people who are, you know, building up Fauci because they don't like Donald Trump. That's a complete misconception. And as I said, it is a misunderstanding of the nature of this crisis, which, by the way, I think is rapidly coming under control. I know this sounds completely counterfactual to all the things we're hearing, but I think the policies are gradually working. I think that's also the view, by the way, of most scientists who are dealing with this thing. On the front lines in the hospitals, there is more pressure because that they have to deal with the cases as they come in. But I think people who are actually looking at this thing from a distance, but who understand this, feel that the worst of this crisis is behind us now, that we've actually managed to get on top of it.
Yeah, no, I think that's the point. That's the clarity through this conversation.
Yeah.
That I think is needed. And hopefully people that are watching this video also get a sense of that. And that, you know, you don't need to be fixated on a vaccine. If one comes in 3, 4, 5 years, which is a viable, healthy, vaccine, I mean,
well, good. You certainly don't need the surveillance. And you certainly don't need the microchips and all that. Or the apps, by the way. I mean, the apps are also unnecessary. I mean, you collect the records and then you destroy them, which is what in most countries the law requires.
But it's a process that, you know, has been done for other diseases.
It's been done for TB, tuberculosis,
that we already have in place.
Absolutely.
And they can just be implemented for this virus as well. It's not this extreme surveillance state type of solution that media, many mayors and governors in the US and many other politicians in other countries are pushing.
Absolutely. Bear in mind also that the virus has only a limited life and it burns itself out. So it's another fact that people,
when you have a guy like, you know, Garcetti in Los Angeles, you know, sitting there and saying, we're going to extend the lockdown until we get a vaccine, or at least until the end of the summer. Well, you know, you sit there and you go, what the F is this guy?
I mean, can I just say also, you know, literally, I mean, you know, there will come a point if you impose a lockdown for 12 months, you won't need a vaccine because there won't be any virus by then. I mean, that's a crazy scenario. I mean, that's insane, actually. But you know, let's be clear. We're talking about a microorganism. We're not talking about, you know, some sort of demonic force that human science can't cope with. I mean, that's a complete misunderstanding of this whole thing. If people think in those terms and that we need some magic vaccine to deal with, and, you know, without, you know, it's like a silver bullet. this is anti-scientific thinking. It's not scientific thinking at all.
It's incredible how quickly Bill Gates jumped on this. I mean, he's been poking around.
Health industry now
for a good while, but I mean, he just jumped on this.
Well, of course he did. I mean, he's a monopolist. He's got infinite amount of money behind him, because he does, and he's also somebody, I think, who has a certain rather scary idea of the future, frankly. and we don't have to buy into it. I mean, this is an infection. It's not the second coming. I mean, you know, we don't need to get lost in these paranoid visions that he has.
I want to ask you one more question about a different news topic about Gazprom and Poland. I don't know if you know about what's going on there with Poland and Norway.
Have you
heard that?
They're opening another pipeline.
Before I ask you that one question about all of that, I just want to say that, you know, do you think that everything that's happened the last 2 months dealing with the CV could have been drastically mitigated if the message was just a lot clearer?
Absolutely. Of course it could have been.
And maybe the words changed a little as to what was used, you know,
Yes.
As I think of words like contact tracing and stuff like that. And, you know, you look to words like that and you sit there and you say, what the hell does that mean?
Well, can I just say something? Another particular word, which I really detest, asymptomatic cases. But doesn't mean anything to most people.
Right.
Asymptomatic cases are people who come into contact with the microorganism, but who are not ill. I mean, that's all it means. It's people who are healthy. They're well. They are not asymptomatic cases. I mean, the trouble is, you see, we have scientists use one language. Politicians don't understand it. And so they've got themselves scrambled. And a lot of things could have been done much better if this had been all explained clearly and simply. The person who came closest to doing it, by the way, and I'm going to be a bit patriotic here, I thought the Queen of England actually got the mood about right.
Oh, in what way?
Well, I mean, she gave a speech in which she said, you know, take calm, it'll all be over, we'll get it sorted out. But even she obviously didn't go into the details. But, you know, it would have been a much more simple. It could have been explained much more clearly, far more simply. But politicians have lost the skill in every country to talk to people in a clear way or to understand what experts are telling them.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's move on to this one story real quickly. Gazprom, Poland, Norway. I believe it's Norway.
It's Norway. Yeah, that they're open. Yeah. It's a very strange story because, as I understand it, Norwegian gas production is actually starting to run down. So quite why the Poles think that this is a solution for their problems, I'm not really entirely clear. But I suspect, knowing the way that the Poles are thinking, this isn't ultimately about that. It's probably more about ultimately weakening, again, the Russian-German combination with Nord Stream 2, which looks like it's going to be completed now. I mean, I don't know whether you've been following the news, Alex, but this Russian pipeline ship is now in the Baltic and is expected to start working on finishing Nord Stream 2 fairly soon. And so Nord Stream 2 looks like it's almost now finally a done thing. It's difficult to see how it can be stopped. But as I said, I think the Poles are trying to say, well, we do have these alternative options. We can have the gas come in from Poland. We can also have, of course, gas come from the United States in the form of liquefied natural gas, though I don't think that's a realistic option either.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's the U.S., though, that's, you know, putting the gas through Poland.
I'm fairly sure it is, actually.
Or maybe one last attempt to try to slow down the Nord Stream 2.
I think that
or muddle the message of Nord Stream 2, maybe.
Muddle the message of Nord Stream 2. I mean, the Poles have been doing some very strange things. I mean, there's a movement in Germany now, which has been backed by the SPD, some people within the SPD, the Social Democratic Party of Germany, which is Merkel's coalition partner, which is that they want to declare Germany nuclear free. Not going to happen, by the way. I mean, that isn't going to happen within any short time frame. Germany doesn't have nuclear weapons, but there are US nuclear weapons in Germany, and there's no way the Germans are going to ask the US to take them away. But there's been some talk of that, and the Poles have said, well, you know, if they leave Germany, they can come to Poland, these nuclear weapons. So it looks to me again as if the Poles once more are playing this game, the spoilers for the United States. This particular pipeline, as I said, it doesn't make a great deal of sense. As I said, given that Norwegian gas production is now falling. So they won't be able to make up the difference to the extent that the Poles, I think it will.
But yeah, Romania made a similar statement to Poland with the nuclear weapons.
Yes, yes.
Remember Poland, when I was in Romania?
Poland and Romania being the US's two strongest. Exactly. Two strongest allies, the US's strongest allies in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, that's it. We covered a lot of ground. Let's move on.